Dear Lord, these are your words. Thank you for opening our eyes so that we can share what you are up to. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a guide, a path that we can follow. Thank you, Lord, for being our God and being so much in control. Through Christ. Amen. Out of here because I'm going to be walking around because I can't stand still. Anyway, a little testimony I have here. I don't know, it was a year and a half ago. Well, most of my life, I think, I've been asking God, show me your hand. And expecting things like, okay, I prayed that this cow is sick, and I didn't know what to do with her, and God showed me to give her this medication or something, and then she got better. You know, little things.
Important things.
Important at the time, maybe, but there are little things. Or, you know, there's a conflict within my partnership there in the farm, and people aren't getting along. And then I pray for those people. And for some reason, it gets better. It goes away. It's like, wow. Those are cool. Well, here about a year or so ago, he opened my eyes to what's happening in world events. And I was struck. I was in awe. It's like, wow. And then I prayed. I prayed, Lord, if I'm supposed to share this, give me the opportunity. Guess what? Here's one of my opportunities. I've had opportunities on an individual basis from time to time, and some of you have heard about them. Right, Tim? and the people I shared it with, if they were at all interested, said, wow, too. And this is my first one in front of a group. So, I don't know where God's going to take me. I don't know. But we will see. He opened my eyes to what is happening in Israel. I titled this message, What in the World is Going On? There's many paths leading up to what's going on. And I picked a few of them here. Today we're going to look at the prophetic timetable and how that's leading us these days. Next week we're going to be looking at what's happening in Israel as a land and how that has developed over time here. And the following week we'll be looking at the festivals of Israel and how that plays into it. It's quite astonishing, to say the least. But anyway, in your handout there, you have Daniel 5:21. And we've known this for a long time already. We studied this in Sunday school. Nebuchadnezzar finally understood that the Most High God is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and sets them over anyone he wishes. If you remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar, he was the one that put Daniel in the lion's den. Not Darius put Daniel in the lion's den, I'm sorry. And he's the one that put the three in the furnace. Meshach. Thank you. And then he said, what? Oh, wow, your God must be powerful. But he didn't follow him until finally he was put out in the grass and told to eat the grass as a crazy man. Proverbs 21:1, then the Lord's hand, the king's are to king's heart is the stream of water that he channels toward whoever he pleases. Yes. So where are we in the prophetic timeline? I'm going to go through 8 different tests. Some of these tests we've seen for many years. Some of these tests we've just seen in the last 2 years, 3 years. Number one, we're going to look at the character rot. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. I'm going to be pulling them up on my phone here, so you'll probably be a little bit ahead of me because Dennis was so kind to go and write them all out for you. 2 Timothy 3. One to five. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Does anybody notice that in the world that we live in? a lot of it, yes. But this has been going on for a long time. I mean, you could go back in the early 1900s and see this also. Maybe not to the extent that we do today, but we could see this then too. Second test is apostasy test. What does apostasy mean? Does anybody know? What's that?
Falling away
from the faith?
Yeah.
Yes. 1 Timothy 4. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith, follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars. Those consciences have been seared with a hot iron. Wow. They forbid people to marry in order for them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe in those and who know the truth. For everything God has created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. Deceiving spirits, falling away from the word, leads to empty churches, empty faith. We're seeing this occur. Okay, let's look at the lawlessness test. 2 Thessalonians Second Thessalonians 1-12. Paul, Silas, Timothy, to the churches of Thessalonica, God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always... Am I on the right one here? I'm sorry, I need the next chapter. Man of lawlessness, there we go. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask, brothers, sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching alleged from us, whether by prophecy or by the word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. In other words, some people were thinking the day of the Lord had come already, back, and this was a long time ago. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed for destruction. Who is that?
The Antichrist,
yes. He will be opposed and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or worshipped, and so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus Christ will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance to how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power and signs and wonders to serve that lie. And all the ways of the wickedness will all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. For this reason, God sends them powerful delusions so that they believe the lie and so that they can be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Getting ready for the lawless one. You know, a good way to do this, and I think they talked about this last week or two, is to get rid of the armor of Christ. And then you can be, you know, more easily deceived. Right, right. Go away. Don't read your Bible. Go away from it. Let it sit. Don't try to understand it. You're going to be deceived. Yes. You open yourself up to the lawless one. Another name for him is Satan himself. Next test, scoffer's test. 2 Peter 3, 1-7. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as a reminder to stimulate you into wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands given to the Lord and Savior through our apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, quote, "Where is the coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it's been since the creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water, by water. By these waters, also the world, that time was deluged and destroyed by the same word. The present heavens and the earth were reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction for the ungodly. Everything goes on since the beginning. That sounds like a lot of the thought process these days. The whole theory of evolution is based on what is happening now. The tree grows, the tree dies. The leaves come on, the leaves go off. That must have happened millions of years already, right? That's not what the Bible says. There is a beginning to that. The waters covered the earth, the Bible says. I think it was called Noah's flood. Nah, nothing that ever happened. Even though the evidence is there. Yeah. Yeah, conveniently forgetting that God created everything, conveniently forgetting that the waters covered the earth and destroyed it. And in the future, the earth is reserved for what? Fire. Maybe we should change that word. Call it climate warming. That would be about right, right? Man has control of climate warming. We're supposed to stop driving cars or something, right? Assembly of the One World Government test. Psalm 2, 1 to 3. Wake up here. Psalm 2, 1 to 3. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, the rulers band together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. Nations conspire against the Lord. Remember that when they did that one time before? I think it's in Genesis. Genesis 11, 1 to 9. Called the Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language, a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found the plain of Shur and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let's make us bricks and break them thoroughly. Use the bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower that reaches to heaven so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the whole face of the earth. But the Lord came down. He saw the city, the tower, the people that they were building. The Lord said, if one people speaking the same language, they have begun this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them across the earth. Anybody have one of these? I didn't do it myself, but the way I understand, somebody can speak in here with another language and I can read what they're saying in English. That's pretty close to one language to me. The people are one world government. There are lots of things that I show in this one world government. Many things. Language is one of them. What's that?
I feel like the European Union.
The European Union. We're seeing it big time right now with NATO coming together. Why? Because Russia's doing their thing. Okay? Bringing us together. I mentioned climate change a little bit ago. What's that all about? Bringing the world together. We all got to work together to fix this problem, you know? Now there's talk about food shortages. Well, we got to all work together. We got to get this grain out of Ukraine before it spoils so that people won't starve. We got to work together. You got all these pressures to work together, to work together, to work together. That's not God's plan. God planned nations. Number six here. Return of the Jews to their homeland. Now we're getting into some things that just happened. I mean, most of these other things you could say, they happened World War I time, World War II time. I mean, there were chaoses then, too. Many people died. But now we're getting to some things that are happening today. Return of the Jews to their homeland. Ezekiel 37:21. Wake up. Ezekiel 37:21. What does that say here? And say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back to their own land. Is that happening? I think it was in the beginning of June here. I heard another 256, something like that, Jews, Ethiopian Jews, moving back to Israel. Since Russia hit Ukraine, bunch of Ukrainian Jews running for their lives, coming back home. They have a program in Israel. They'll pay your way if you're Jewish, to bring you back and settle home. It's a national program in Israel. It's been happening big time since World War I, actually, a little bit before you had that even. And we'll get into some of that next week, I think it is. Coalition of Russia, Iran, Turkey test. That's easy. I forget which verses I put on your paper there. 1-6. Ah, good guess. I was looking. Chapter 38, yeah. That's right. That works. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Gog in the land of Magog. Chief priests of Meshach, and I can't pronounce these things, Tubal, prophesy against them. This is the Sovereign Lord says, I am against you, Gog, prince of peace, Meshach and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out of your whole army and your horses and your horsemen, fully armored and great horde of large and small shields, all of them banishing their swords. Persia, Cush, Put will be with them, and with all their helmets and shields. So Gomer and all his troops, Beth Tobar, from the far north, with all his troops and many nations with you. Who are they talking about? Gog and Magog. Who are they? Well, go down to the bottom, if you have your Bible. I don't know that this is on your sheet. Footnote. Prince of Rosh. Gog, or Gog, Prince of Rosh. Rosh. These names are names of Noah's grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So we looked earlier. Noah landed his boat. The floodwaters came down. The people went to the plains of Shechar, I think it was, and they built their city all together there. And what did God do? Scattered them, because they couldn't talk to each other. Well, they scattered. Magog went way north. Rosh, Russia. Prince of Magog, Gog. Let's say Gog of Magog. What's that? The Gog of the land of Magog. Gog simply means the leader of Russia, which we'll be putting right now. Right? Okay. Yeah, he needs to be scattered. But that's not what's happening. He's getting a little aggressive, isn't he? Wouldn't that make sense? If Russia gets a little aggressive before the hook pulls him down into Israel? What is this hook? We'll talk about that later. These countries, Russia, Iran, Turkey, if you get out of your little map there, first map on the inside. I got one here, I can show it to you. Actually, this one here, the first one on the top there, when you fold it open. You see Persia. Where's Persia? Iran. Is Iran a friend of Israel? Not. Just yesterday, Israel shot down three drones that were flying toward their gas wells out in the Mediterranean. They came actually from Lebanon, but Iran sent the drone pieces over there so they could put them together, so fly them out there. Of course, they said they were surveillance drones, but you never know. Another name, Cush. Where's Cush? You see Cush? Ethiopia? It talks about, and that one isn't on here. It talks about Persia, Cush, Put, also Gomer. You know, over the years, when Israel became a nation back in 1948, it was the Arab countries right around them. Jordan, Egypt, Syria. They wanted to push them right out in the water, out into the Mediterranean, get rid of them. They were battling with them. Today, those countries have peace agreements with them. I think it was 1980 somewhere, Egypt signed a peace agreement with them. Jordan signed a peace agreement with them during the Clinton administration, I think it was. The Trump administration did a peace agreement with Bahrain, UAE. UAE ain't even on the map here. Is it? It is on the map. It's down there at the bottom of the Persian Gulf. Bahrain, UAE. It's looking very much like Saudi Arabia is going to do a peace agreement with them. These are all being forced in a way by Iran, because Iran likes to keep throwing bombs and stuff at these other countries. Israel is strong. Israel got the number 8 military in the world. Thanks for United States' help, but also their own. God has blessed Israel. We'll be looking at that next week in a big way. Well, you're seeing these things come together. That leads us to the last test here, the Sheba Dedan test, which is Ezekiel 38:13. And this is actually during the Ezekiel war. They say, Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish and her villages, will say to you, have you come for plunder? Have you gathered your hordes to loot? Carry off silver and gold? Take away livestock and goods and seize plunder? This sounds like material things, economic things, something plunder that Russia is coming and all its Russia and Turkey and Iran, the group of them, is coming down from the north with their armies. They're after plunder. It's not religion. It's not Jews and what's that? Anti-Jews, not Islam is what I'm trying to come up with, like it's been in the past. They're coming after something different. This will allude to what this hook might be. But anyway, these countries have peace agreements with Israel at this point. Now we go to the bigger countries outside of that are going to be coming against Israel. The one that the Trump administration used was called the Abraham Accord. If you remember that, seeing that in the news. It was before the virus, a little bit before the virus that was actually signed, called the Abraham Accord. That's where they call it the Abraham Accord because that's where they could come together as far as agreement is around Abraham, because the Arabs claim their heritage is from Abraham, and also the Jews claim their heritage is from Abraham. Obviously, the Jewish side goes with the promise. The Arab side does not. So where are we in the prophetic timeline? The prophetic timeline is getting very close to this Ezekiel war. And if you want to read down through that, that's fine. And into the next chapter, you see the result of the Ezekiel war, how God saves them. And God promised many times throughout the Old Testament that when Israel comes back, it will not leave a second time. It'll be back to stay. So why am I sharing this with you? This ain't in America. This is Independence Day. We're over here. So that you can share this with others when they say, what is going on in this world? God has it all stepped out, step by step by step, what is going on. All you have to do is follow it. Next week we'll be looking at Israel as a country, how that has developed over time and gotten to where it is. A bunch of testimonies about that. The following week, we'll look at the side from the festival side. And then the last week, where does the church all fit into this? And what do we have to look forward to as believers? Food for thought. Thank you.